In small white letters in the bottom left-hand corner of the screen, Film 4 presents a Sarah Radcliffe Productions, Portobello Pictures production, in association with Fandango SRL and Mikado SRL. Ray Winston, Lara Belmont, Freddie Cunliffe, Tilda Swinton, in the war zone. Through the narrow aperture of a concrete building, an elongated view of a rugged coastline, the bay is bounded by a black finger of craggy rocks jutting out into the surf. Clouds hang low over the cliffs which stretch into the distance. The gloom of night is gathering as the surf surges in. A teenage boy cycles downhill past a tree leaning wildly over the road, pushed into a crescent by the wind. The darkness gathers as anorak flying behind him, he pedals rapidly downhill. The road unfolds before him as he speeds through bleak, bare woods, along rain-splashed country lanes. He heads back uphill, pushing hard at the pedals. The boy Tom is in his middle teens, pale-faced with black hair. He pedals with wiry energy as he turns off the lane and urges the bike up a potholed gravel track towards a white-painted farmhouse. The house is bleakly situated away from the road, its bare walls and black windows stark against the empty fields and hillside behind. Tom dismounts from the bike, props it against the front wall of the house. He goes to the small porch sheltering the front door, pushes at the door only to find it locked. He goes around the side of the house. As he enters the kitchen, his mother, a woman in her late 30s, her long red hair tied back, looks up from her Filofax notes and smiles. His older sister Jessie thrusts a large cardboard box into his arms. Tom sits in the living room beside the gas fire. His sister and his mother, who is heavily pregnant, lie on the opposite sides of the sofa, holding glasses of wine. They look up as they hear the door latch being tried. Cardboard boxes are piled up in corners of the room, which is lit by dim table lamps. Mother points back towards the porch and father turns around to take off his boots at the living room door and strip off his shirt, which he throws on the back of the sofa as he heads for the kitchen sink. Mother puts down her wine glass and follows him out. Jessie, a dark-haired, attractive teenager, turns to the other side of the sofa to face Tom in the half-light. She turns as she hears the conversation in the kitchen.
Found a couple of marble fireplaces. Mm-hmm. Nice stained glass window, you know. It's really nice. It's beautiful. It's beautiful chandelier. It's beautiful. Late 20s, early 30s, you know. Mm-hmm. Good deco. I might keep all of that. I've got a private for that.
Mother sponges father down as he leans over the sink. Later, father on the phone.
We'll make us an offer.
Mother lies back on the sofa.
Give us the price, Vince. That's what I paid for it.
Mother goes to the gas fire.
Well, I've got to earn a living. It's a nice piece, Vince. Hold on.
She presses at the igniter button of the fire.
Leave it, darling, I'll do that.
Tom watches from the table as fluid streams down his mother's leg.
400 quid, Vince. In the book, they're 1,200 quid. We can all get a living out of this.
Mum?
We'll say the piece. We'll give us 400 quid.
Mother lifts her foot as she senses the waters running over it. Tom's smile turns to anxiety. The headlights of a car approach through the night. Mother and father are in the front seats and Tom's upper body pokes through the sunroof. His arms are spread wide as the car speeds down the narrow lane.
Sit down, Tom. Sit down and shut the roof.
Jesse jumps on the back seat and joins Tom.
You having fun?
Yeah.
It's freezing.
Oh! Want me to stop? Do you want me to stop? You don't want me to stop.
Keep going.
Father drives faster.
Oh!
The road twists and turns, the headlights barely light the way. They duck.
Oh, shit!
The car's near side catches the bank of the road, and the car flips over onto its side and slides until it finally turns upside down and comes to a halt, headlights still blazing, steam rising from the hot engine as it cools on the damp road. There is movement under the car as they regain consciousness among the broken glass. Tom and Jesse stumble around the car. Tom, his face covered in blood, watches his father deliver the baby underneath the overturned car. Tom and Jesse wait, seated side by side outside a hospital room. Their scarred and bandaged faces glance up as a nurse comes through the door beside them, ignores them and stalks off. Their father opens the door.
Tom.
Father ushers them in and they walk to the bed where their mother smiles as she holds the baby, Alice. Mother's face is covered in abrasions and cuts. Jesse strokes the baby gently, and their father, a thick-set man whose round face is slightly scarred and scratched, looks on warmly.
I'll take the kids and get them some tea.
Yeah, good.
Let Mummy get some rest now.
Okay.
Last day.
Yeah.
You want?
Just bring him something back, will you?
Yeah.
Tom, close to his mother, looks down at the baby.
Smells funny.
Mother smiles and looks with concern at his torn and lacerated face and the blood stains on his sweatshirt.
How are you doing?
I feel terrible.
Do you want a cuddle?
Yeah.
He leans forward and she cradles his head as he puts an arm around her shoulder. She strokes his hair softly. On a pebbled beach, Jess, Tom, and Father are enjoying the wind and the wild surf rolling in towards them. Silhouetted against the whipped foam of the sea and the rocky outcrops, they are dressed in bulky coats and jerseys against the cold. Father holds a piece of driftwood and waves it around as he laughs, puts an arm around Tom and hugs him. Jess, hugging herself for warmth, steps unsteadily away from them, across the stones, as if searching for something among the rocks.
She's all right, I guess. Bit tired and that. Beautiful.
In the farmhouse hallway, Jess speaks into the telephone.
So sweet. Thanks.
Father comes down the stairs.
Don't tie up the phone, Jess. So nice tomatoes on toast, Tom. Some lovely tomatoes on toast.
She's so sweet, honestly. It's like the tiniest little thing. I mean, like Sammy was when he was little. I don't know, Mum says so, but it looks more like her. In the kitchen? Yeah, I know, I can't wait. All right, miss you too. Try. All right, bye.
Jess puts down the phone, sits at the kitchen table, which is laid for a meal. She puts her legs on the empty end of the table and watches Father cooking.
Do you feel old or different having a new daughter? It's been a while.
I don't know, I feel a bit scared, you know. Get your feet off the table. But at the same time, I feel very happy. Nose ain't.
Was it like that with us?
Was it, No, well, you changed everything, you know. I mean, I've become a man. You know, I've got one in.
Father bustles around the kitchen. Tom dozes on the settee.
Now, him? He was forceps, tells us that. He's got a long head, face like a well-slapped arse. Yeah, I knew he was trouble from the start.
Is it more difficult having us if one of you wanted to leave?
What, me or your mother?
Either.
You want a straight answer?
Yeah.
Father sits at the table, facing Jess.
Well, it depends how selfish you're feeling.
You haven't lost a minute without us, Dad.
Oh, he's awake. When I was a little boy, I was sitting on this wall waiting for my granddad, right? I was watching this car coming towards me, and it swerved, and as it swerved, it took off. And the boot opened, and a spare wheel fell out, right? And then it hit a wall. As it hit the wall, the passenger door opened, right? This woman in the passenger seat got thrown out, and her arm was up her back, you know, caught in her coat as she fell out the motor. As she hit the floor, right, and I was watching this all in slow motion. You know how things happen in slow motion. Can you hold the line, please?
Jess moves to the sofa.
She hits the floor, and as she hits the floor, the car hits the floor, right, and rolls right over on top of her, right? The geezer who's driving the car, sitting in the car, screaming his head off, right? He gets out. Now, I want to help him, but I'm only 7 years of age, and I'm sitting on the wall. I'm shocked. So he goes around and lifts the car off the woman. Oh, his strength. It's amazing, isn't it? Hello? Hello, Vince. No, I'm just making the kids some tea. Pheasant. Yeah, I've got a nice piece of pheasant pie. Thought you'd never go anywhere in the country.
Tom sits on the lavatory, flicking through a magazine. Jess bursts in through the door and ruffles his hair.
They're here!
She runs away with his magazine, and he follows through the house, pulling up his trousers. Through the kitchen and out into the blustery field where a taxi has pulled up on the muddy track. Jess opens the rear door of the taxi and they peer inside. Father comes around the back of the car carrying a baby basket, which Jess takes and gives to Mother. While the boot of the car is emptied, Jess and Mother gaze at the sleeping baby. Mother and Jess continue to gaze down at baby Alice. The dressing on Mother's forehead shines out in the fading light. The figure of a girl in an anorak and short wellingtons carrying two plastic bags of shopping trudges down the track to the house in the rain. Tom comes forward to meet her from the wind-swept hedge. She looks at him, her wet hair plastered in dark strings across her face. Her brown eyes meet his.
Hello, Tom.
He regards her with the faintest of smiles. She averts her gaze and heads towards the farmhouse door. He turns his head to follow her progress. The farmhouse door opens and she enters the kitchen.
Hello.
Joe, you all look a picture.
Hello, Lucy.
Father lights a cigarette.
Not around the baby. Oh, thank you very much.
Sorry.
Lucy takes the cigarette away.
Oh, does she look like you?
Lucy holds Alice up to her face and bounces her gently, beaming at Tom, who only stares morosely at the two of them from the side of the room. Mother smiles as the baby is handed back to her and on to Jessie, her milk-heavy breast falling out of her nursing brassiere. Lucy strips off her wet jersey and Tom glances surreptitiously at her breasts under her T-shirt.
Could I dry off?
Lucy pushes past Tom. He watches expressionless as his mother eases her breast back into her brassiere.
You too, Tom.
Tom follows into the bathroom where he sits on the lavatory and stares across the room as Lucy rubs her hair dry. She has her head on one side and sees his fascination. She stops rubbing, adjusts her hair and smiles.
Someone's got a filthy mind.
She holds his gaze for a long moment, then walks slowly over to him and stands in front of him. Looks him over. A half smile hovers on her mouth.
Your hair's still wet.
In the kitchen, Jessie glances down the passage towards the bathroom as Mother rocks the baby. Lucy massages Tom's head dry with the towel as he gazes at her. Upstairs, in half light, Mother lies on the bed, in her bra and pants. Father hugs her from behind, rubbing her flabby stomach. Naked, Father clambers off the bed and goes down the darkened staircase. Tom comes out of his adjacent bedroom and sees his mother as she rises, feeding bottle in hand.
Tom, is everything all right?
Yeah. Couldn't you get that? Oh, he's got a lot of himself, haven't he?
Tom makes for the bathroom but turns around to spy through the door of his parents' room. Father is caressing Mother's stomach as she expresses some of her milk into the bottle.
You should get a corset. I should get a corset.
A deserted street of grey buildings as rain streams down the windows of a cafe. Tom sits opposite his mother at a formica table, hunched over his cup. His mother, her face still scarred, regards him with concern.
It's not so bad.
What?
Devon.
They forget to speak English when the tourists leave.
It'll be better after Easter when you start your new school. Maybe you'll like this one.
I miss my friends.
You'll see them again. And make some new ones.
Down here, they all have giant foreheads and fingers sprouting from their shoulders.
That's a sick remark.
It's a sick world.
A white taxi pulls up on the track and Tom and Mother get out, huddled against the wind and torrential rain. Tom carries shopping in plastic bags and Mother scurries along behind him, head down against the rain, driven from the grey skies above the white farmhouse. They push at the latch of the door. It is stuck, and Tom, his anorak dripping water, goes around the side of the house. Light from the downstairs bathroom shines out, and Tom glances through the window as he passes. He stops and takes a step backwards to lean against the rough stone wall, his face a blank. Rain drips from his nose and chin as he looks in the window again, for a longer time, and again he steps back to rest, stunned against the wall as the rain lashes him. He walks away from the wall, into the overgrown garden, and drops his bags to the ground. He faces away from the window and the house. He enters the kitchen to see Mother holding Alice. Father speaks on the phone.
I'm not coming all the way to London on spec, Francesca. Well, you know what happens. I'll get up there. And he'll offer me... Yeah, he will.
How's she been, Jess? Quiet as a mouse?
No. Well, I've got it from another customer now. No. We'll put him on the phone a bit. We'll get him.
Porter's gone.
Leave him alone. Well, why can't I come to the phone? Well, I've got to sell it. What do you think I'd do it for me, health? Now, why should I come all the way to London if I can sell it down here? Well, what's the logic in there?
Father is still wet from the bath.
Now, just put him on. I can hear him. I know, he's there counting his money, isn't he? I'd like to be half a quid behind him.
Tom passes him very closely.
Put him on. Put him on.
In her room, Jess is brushing her hair as Tom enters. She sits on the bed wearing only her pants.
How's Mum?
Tom, still hooded by his anorak, leans against the flower-patterned wallpaper and fixes her with his gaze.
What's the matter?
He walks to the bed and sits, slumped, his head down. The faint light from the window shines on Jess's naked back as she dries her hair.
What is that?
I saw you.
Saw me what?
In the bath with Dad.
Yeah.
What were you doing?
What do you think I was doing? He had a bath, I got in, he got out.
That's not what I saw.
Well, that's all it was. Where were you?
Tom stares down motionless. She looks coldly at him.
It's a pretty weird thing you're suggesting if you're saying what I think you're saying.
She scans Tom's face.
Look, I haven't told you to fuck off or anything, which I probably should have. Nothing happened, okay? I'd tell you.
You couldn't?
Yes, I could. You okay now?
She reaches out to touch Tom's shoulder, but he gets up abruptly and leaves the room. Jess takes a cigarette and lights it. The flame from the small lighter flaring. She pulls hard on the cigarette and looks at it as she exhales. Tom enters the local pub. His father and mother sit at a wooden table in an almost empty, dingy room.
Imagine this on a quiet night, Tom.
Tom sits at the table where Mother is holding Alice. Father wears a smart blue denim shirt.
She sleep. Put it down on your legs.
Father finishes his beer, and Mother, her hair down over her shoulders, looks at the sleeping baby as she drinks. Tom and Jess exchange distant looks. A dark-haired young man enters the pub and walks through to the next bar. Jess gets up and follows him.
Do you want me to take her?
Tom follows Jess with his eyes, turns his head as she goes into the next bar. Father sits back, relaxed, watching the comings and goings.
I'll get a drink, Tom. Get Mummy one. I'll have a Rex. What do you want?
Just water, please.
Tom takes the money and goes to the bar, where he stands waiting for service. He looks through the next room where Jess's sullen face turns to him. Father, impatient, gets up and strides to the bar with a dismissive glance at Tom. He taps on the counter.
Yes, please, mate. Yes, please. I'll have a pint of bitter, glass of water and a lime and soda, please. Ask your sister what she wants, Tom.
The barman serves the drinks. Father sits back down and Tom goes through to the other room where Jess and Nick are at the bar.
Do you want a drink?
No. This is my little brother.
Hello.
We're going to the beach.
I'll come.
All right, but you'll have to ask Mum and Dad.
Why?
Why do you think? Come on.
Jess leads them to Mother and Father's table. Nick, a dark-haired, handsome teenager, carries his half pint of beer.
This is Nick.
Hello.
They shake hands.
Hello, son.
Hello, Nick.
No.
We're going to the beach.
It's a bit late, huh?
You're driving, are you, Nick?
Yeah.
That's your first, is it?
Yeah. Can I go?
Will you bring them home?
Of course.
Don't be late, Jess.
Night.
Night.
Jess and Nick leave.
Tom. Tom. Who is he?
I don't know.
Father reaches into his pocket for money.
Just make sure they don't go mad, all right? No, take that.
No, thanks.
Take it. You might get stuck.
It's all right.
Tom leaves the money and goes.
Night, Tom.
Mother laughs into her hand as Father sips his beer. In the lee of a dune, before an expanse of darkened sand, with the sea glinting in the distance, Tom, Jess and Nick sit around a fire.
Is this where you bring your girlfriends?
All of them.
They sit and gaze into the flames from burning driftwood. Tom is hunched and withdrawn. Jess looks up, her face illuminated by the flames.
Fancy a swim?
That water'd kill you.
Might be worth it.
Have you ever seen anybody die?
No.
I saw my granddad die.
Nick swigs from a bottle of whiskey, passes it to Tom, who gingerly takes a drink. Jess watches him, glances at Nick, and they all gaze into the fire.
Say something.
What?
Anything. I like your accent.
You're taking the piss.
No, I'm not. Don't you like his accent, Tom?
Tom refuses to meet her eyes. She looks up at Nick across the fire, then turns back to Tom.
It won't be long. Keep warm.
Nick glances at Jess and follows her as she gets up. They walk off into the darkness, leaving Tom sitting huddled over the fire. In daylight, Nick's Land Rover pulls up at the track which leads to the farmhouse. Tom walks off down the track as Jess nods goodbye to Nick. She hurries up the track after him.
Tom! Tom!
Tom turns to wait for Jess. She comes up to him and they face each other on the track.
I'm sorry we left you.
You're doing it together, aren't you? Not just what I saw in the bathroom, everything. You and Dad.
What do you want me to say?
What happened?
Nothing happened.
Tom pushes her off the track and back onto the grass. He dives on top of her, straddles her body with his knees and grabs at her head and hair. Jess fights back, squirms under him, slaps at his head and tugs his hair. Neither causes much real damage until, exhausted, the fight comes to a halt. Tom, still astride Jess, looks down at her. She takes his head in her arms and hugs him as he collapses forward, his face next to hers. She cuddles him and strokes his shoulders. They enter the kitchen where Mother cradles the baby. Father stalks out of the hallway towards them.
I told you to be home before 12 o'clock. The last thing I said to you was be home in this house before 12 o'clock. Where you been?
On the beach.
On the beach. It's 7 o'clock in the fucking morning.
We lost track of time.
You lost track of time? I've had the police out looking for you all night. Your mother hasn't had a decent night's sleep since the baby's been born and you're on the fucking beach.
He grabs Tom.
I gotta bid you. Go to fucking bed and stay there.
What are you doing to me, Jess?
What's the matter with your face? Who done that? Did he fucking do that? Did he do it? Did he fucking know? Did he do that? I'll break his fucking neck. Don't take the fucking piss out of me! Don't take the piss out of me!
Don't hurt her! Leave it. That's enough. Leave it. You've been worried sick waiting for you. Look at me. You've been worried
sick
waiting for you.
You can't come here behaving like this, Jess. I was worried about you. You could be fucking dead. No, I'm all right. Go on, I'm going to go to bed. I'm sorry.
Father pushes past the watching Tom. Mother comes to Jess and takes her chin in her hand and examines her face.
I'm hungry.
What?
I'm hungry.
Go to bed.
Mother turns. Jess sullenly stares after her. Mother picks up the baby and rocks her as she paces the room, wearing her nightgown and housecoat. Jess bumps into Tom, who stands by the door as she goes upstairs. Mother, her long red hair falling down her back, watches her go, continues to rock the baby. Jess sits on the beach, buffeted by the wind, and watches the breakers roll in and the surf whip to a foam. She stares out to sea. High on the headland above the bays of the coast, Tom strides over the outcrops of rock and thin grass. He climbs to the crest of a ridge to look down at her. The wind tugs at his grey, baggy sweater, and he rocks in its strength. Jess's hair is drawn back to expose her white face. She breathes heavily, looks around and sees Tom, who squats down on the skyline.
could see you.
In the hallway, Father is on the telephone.
No, I've just got the message. No, that's fine. The valuation seems fine to me. Of course. And does the fitting? The fittings all come with it, yes? That's super. I particularly like the bath.
Tom goes past him and upstairs.
No. Victorian border. When can I come and see you?
Tom looks back downstairs.
I see you're away from me. Mm-hmm. No, that's fine. Okay, super. Thank you very much. See you then. Bye.
Tom walks into Jess's bedroom and goes to her bedside table. He picks up a packet of cigarettes and a small lighter.
Bastard.
He puts the cigarettes and lighter into his pockets and goes to the bed, inspects a paper-covered album which he puts to one side, and empties out a small file of notes, pencils and pictures. He makes a pile on the bed. In it there are some Polaroid photographs. He strips off their wrapper and begins to sift through them. A picture of Jess lying naked on a bed. A full-length shot of her posing naked facing the camera. A shot of her and another girl naked laughing at the camera. Tom stares at them. From a low level of Jess lying back on a bed, standing sideways to the camera. A picture of her naked torso. Tears roll down Tom's cheeks. Jess naked from her breasts upwards, Father in the background. Tom's face is wet with tears. He returns to the photograph, which includes Father. Tom, back in his own room, sits on his bed smoking. He takes a photograph from behind the mattress and looks at it. He smacks the palm of his hand savagely against his open mouth. Tom, in his boxer shorts, wakes up Jess by thrusting a photograph into her face. She slaps back at him as the bedclothes fall back to reveal her naked body. She looks at the photograph.
It's not what you think.
I'll tell Mum.
Don't.
Must be better than love. Better than anything. How could you let him?
You're acting like a child.
He's our dad.
Why would I want dad when I can have Nick? He's old.
He's a prick. He's nothing.
Jess throws him off the bed to the floor as he clutches the duvet and backs towards the door. Jess is naked on the bed.
This isn't about me and Dad, is it? You just want to know about fucking, don't you? You want to do it. Do you want to do it with Lucy? Do you want me to have a word with her for you?
I've got this.
The photograph.
I'm keeping it.
Do you think Lucy wanks on the toilet when she's feeling neglected?
What?
Because I do.
Tom opens the door and leaves. Jess pulls the cover back over her body and turns out the bedside light. Tom goes to his room and sits on the bed, elbows resting on his knees, head down. He turns out his light. Jess sobs in her bedroom as moonlight falls on the bed. Mother faces Tom across the kitchen table. She drinks from a tumbler, a gin bottle beside her.
You drink too much. You shouldn't drink with a baby.
Well, that is parenthood. You should try it.
No thanks. Jessie will get there first, all right, she's going.
Mother looks coolly at Tom.
Now what's that supposed to mean?
Tom looks down.
Is it the baby? Is it just so different having Alice?
No. I like London.
Well, I like London too, but we're here now. We've got to make a go of this. It's not easy for any of us. I've got to make a fresh start too. I have to get working again. We don't know anybody here. Well, maybe we will go back to London if it doesn't work out.
Father and Jess come in with Alice.
I'll take your boots off, Jess.
Is she all right?
Yeah, she's fine.
Oh, she's a hungry girl. I'd love a cup of tea.
Cup of tea, Tom.
Yes, you're hungry. Are you hungry, my girl? Are you hungry? Oh, she's a hungry girl.
Tom stands on a flat rock at the water's edge and looks out to sea, silhouetted against the waves. He turns to the voices coming from the clifftop and carefully begins to make his way inland across the tumbled rocks. He sees two dark-clad figures approach an old army bunker on the clifftop, an invasion defence from World War II. As he stops and looks closely, a man enters the grey concrete building, and behind him the female figure approaches the door, but looks out to sea. The second figure is Jess, and she looks down from the entrance stairway to the bunker at his diminutive figure scuttling across the rocks. Then calmly she enters the bunker and closes the metal door. Tom pushes his bike past Nick's parked Land Rover as he approaches the bunker from the clifftop across the matted grass. He pauses for a long moment, looks at the large building, its narrow firing slits facing seaward, then turns away and pushes his bike down the track inland. Back in the farmhouse, he rummages in the cardboard boxes and finally loses patience, tips one out completely. He finds a long black cylindrical piece of equipment and another black box which he plugs into the wall beside his bed. He clips and unclips various items, tugs at their reluctant catches, works out the correct method of assembly. From the firing slit of the bunker on the cliff, the back of Tom's head appears against the grey horizon. He looks out to sea from the cliff edge in front of the bunker high above the shore. The sea swirls around the black outcrops below as he sits down on the rock and grass at the cliff edge. He holds a small parcel wrapped in a plastic bag as he gazes out to sea and then looks back at the bunker. He pauses for a moment, looks, then walks around to the side of the bunker, where among the litter of stones and gravel there is a hole in the rock. He kneels and inserts the parcel firmly, elbow deep into the hole, and covers it with larger pieces of rocks from around him. Lights shine from upstairs and the kitchen of the farmhouse. Tom sits, arms folded in the shadows of the kitchen, and watches mother and father at the table. Mother selects photographs of the baby. Jess watches from a stool in the corner.
Which of those shall I send Granny? Tom.
Tom is impassive in the darkness.
These models are working on the cars.
This time next week, you'll be getting ready to start school.
I want to go to London to sort things out for college.
Oh, I've got my CV in, so I could take her out there, can't I?
That's a good idea.
Mm. Yorkshire orange.
Mm. That's such a lovely one of you.
Where's Yorkshire?
I'm going to send that one to Mary.
Jess manages a weak smile.
Oh, that's lovely, isn't it? The face on it.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Look nice in here, though.
How much is that?
Yeah, we're about 6.5 quid.
17 10.
Yeah.
And they're watching it at Sotheby's.
Yeah, well, they've been making them for years, haven't they? Imagine that on your wrist.
As their parents look at a catalogue, Jess stares at Tom. Father holds the baby as Tom sits morosely in front of his empty plate. Tom's eyes follow his father as he paces the living room and rocks the baby gently.
Hello? It's fine. When the houses are tipped up, we're going there. They're fine. She's so bored.
Tom watches his father play with Alice.
Who's it?
Mary. She's going to come. She's coming down.
Oh, good.
Oh,
do you want your mum? Do you want your mum? Do you want your mum? Yeah, she's done number two.
Oh, yeah. Come on, then.
You go. Oh, my darling.
Let's change
you. Oh! Oh! Beautiful.
You know, none of my shoes fit anymore.
Beautiful little bum. I'll get you one of those foot massage bubble bath things. Are the electric ones that all the bubbles come up and massage your little toes?
Good.
I'll run you a nice hot bath in a minute. You can do with a nice hot bath.
Father goes towards the phone, comes back into the room, glances at Mother changing Alice's nappy and finally goes to the hall, where he puts on a sweater and coat.
I'm gonna
go for a run. Are you
waiting for a call? No, I can't sleep there, darling. If Vince calls, tell him I'll ring him back later.
Do you want me to take a message?
No, darling. You stand here?
Yeah, I'll be here.
Tom's eyes follow Father as he leaves.
Ta, Tom.
He doesn't know about nothing.
Tom glances across the room to where Mother plays with Alice as she changes her on the settee. He leaves the kitchen and goes upstairs to his room, where he removes the equipment he plugged into the electric socket. He puts it in the pocket of his coat, which he puts on as he hurries downstairs. On his bicycle, Tom races down the narrow, deserted road to the beach. His grey anorak flies behind him until he breaks beside a stunted tree and drops his bike onto the grass bank at the roadside. He contemplates the view over the craggy headlands and bays. They are bleak and grey as he walks, hesitating and slow to the rectangular outline of the bunker perched on its mound overlooking the sea. The bunker loopholes are black slits as he climbs up the slope to its front. He takes each step deliberately until he is head high to the holes in the concrete wall. He pauses and looks in. After a moment, he turns around and sinks down to the ground. He sits, his back propped up by the wall of the bunker. Tom looks to his right, into the hole where his parcel is hidden, and quietly takes out the rocks one by one, finally bringing out his parcel, which he rips open to reveal a video camcorder. He walks around the front of the bunker and down to the entrance stairway, placing each foot carefully and precisely, heel first. He reaches the foot of the stairway and stops, looks upward to a small window by the entrance, through the hole in the metal mesh in the window aperture. He slowly and methodically inserts the camera so as to record what is happening inside the bunker. From behind the lens of the camcorder, he sees Father kneeling between Jess's legs. She lies on her back on her coat spread over the floor of the grey concrete room. Light falls on them from the loophole slits high up in the wall. Jess sobs as Father lifts her jersey to reveal her breasts. He caresses her and unbuckles the belt of her jeans as Tom watches from the window. Father draws her jeans down to her knees, and then her pants, stroking and fondling her as he does so.
Yeah, boy. Why don't you do it like you do it to Mum?
Jess turns over and kneels on all fours as Father runs his hands over her back from behind her. Outside, Tom looks away, his face a blank. He looks again, his head drawn slowly but surely into the window gap in the rough concrete wall. Father pushes his jeans down to his ankles and steadies himself with one hand on Jess's back as he squats down over her. Tom's eyes peer through the gloom as he watches from the window. Jess shudders with the impact of her father's thrusts. Father strokes Jess's face and kisses her back. She shakes her head in distress. She continues to shake her head as Father recovers his composure, still behind her. Tom's face sinks down from the gap in the window, as Father gets up, pulls up his jeans and stumbles to the slit window behind him. Jess tugs up her underwear and jeans. Father puts his elbows on the window, spits and stares out to sea. Outside, Tom slowly removes the camcorder. Jess pulls down her jersey and sits on her coat, head between her knees. She stares at the concrete floor and wipes her eyes. Outside, Tom walks rapidly away carrying the camcorder. He goes to the edge of the cliff where he watches the waves pounding through the channels, bounded by sharp black rocks. Spray leaps into the air and he pauses, watches the surge and the ebb of the breakers, until with a swing of his arm he throws the camcorder down into the chasm. Back in the farmhouse, he strides through the door, leaving it open. He ignores his mother as he passes her sitting on the settee.
Put the kettle on, will you, Tom?
He goes straight to his room where he barricades himself in. He drags a chest of drawers to the door and balances a bedside table on top of it. For a moment he contemplates his work, then turns and walks slowly to his bed. He sits down on his bed until he turns to the window. He can see across the fields to the sea and headlands beyond. A solitary figure in a long black coat walks back from the beach across the green fields. As she gets nearer, it is clearly Jess, coat flapping in the breeze. In the kitchen, Jess stands behind the table as mother and father eat. She looks across at Tom, who sits, arms folded on the settee, eyes fixed on her until he has to look away. Jess takes a last mouthful and puts her bowl in the sink.
I'm finished.
Jess goes upstairs and Tom sits motionless for a moment. Mother eats and father has a swig of tea, lost in their own thoughts. Both are oblivious to Tom as he rises and follows Jess upstairs to her room where she reads, seated in an easy chair. She looks up as he enters the room. He closes the door and stands by the wall.
Get out, Tom.
He comes towards her and sits in a chair next to her, hands clasped in front of him. She puts down her book.
You lied to me. You're still fucking him. I saw you together in that shelter. I saw everything.
Jess toys with a plastic lighter. She cannot meet his gaze. She rubs one hand on her brow, obscuring her face. She looks up.
Did she get off on all this?
I fucking hate you.
Jess looks away, then back at Tom. She puts her feet down from the seat of the chair and pulls down her low-cut cotton top so that her breast is exposed. She flicks the lighter and holds the flame to the upper part of her breast. She contorts her face, grimacing as the pain comes over her.
Psst. do you want to hurt me? No, I'll feel better.
She gives Tom the lighter and he flicks it. He holds the flame close to her breast and she flinches and looks away, but keeps her breast close to the flame, twitching with pain and effort. Tears start in her eyes, and Tom uncertainly moves the flame to her and away again.
That's bollocks.
Tom throws the lighter away.
It's got to stop.
Jess covers her breast and can only shake her head as she wipes the tears from her eyes with her hand and swallows hard.
I mean it. I'll tell Mum.
She looks at him fiercely, still wiping her tears, now with the sleeve of her cardigan. Tom gets up and goes to the door.
We're going to London tomorrow.
Who is?
Me and Dad. You come with us. You might enjoy it. Maybe I can get you laid.
Tom leaves. Jess bends forward in the chair, leans her head on a hand. In a dingy London pub.
You can have a bath, have it tonight. Alright?
Alright.
Same to you, Tom. You can help me tomorrow, yeah? Alright.
What are you doing?
Just got to see some people. Nice sweet?
No.
A barman comes to the table.
Anything else? I'd like a vodka and tonic with some ice, please. And do you want a red wine?
Yeah.
Red wine. And a coat for him.
Right.
Thank you. I forgot to tell your mummy phone today. Alice gave her first smile.
Jess kicks Tom.
Don't start fighting.
Father looks at them both. Jess sits sullenly.
Let's go to a club.
No, I'm not having a club, I'm tired.
Let us go then.
I'm not having him in a club.
It'll be fun.
No.
You can stare at all the dancers. Make me sit at the bar and protect me.
Shut up, you're drunk.
Jess glares back at Father. Tom stares hard at him. In daylight, Jess and Tom walk across a green expanse of playing field towards two grey concrete tower blocks of flats. Tom lags slightly behind. As they walk down a long white corridor, Jess takes a bunch of keys from her coat. She opens a white painted door and they come into the hallway of a flat.
Hello?
Jess hangs her coat up, goes into the living room and puts her keys on a bookshelf.
Sit down, Tom.
Tom sits down on a chair beside the sideboard while Jess goes into the neatly kept kitchen and fills a kettle. He still wears his anorak. Jess switches on the kettle and comes back into the homely living room, where she sits on a dark green sofa next to the fireplace with its ornaments and small photographs in frames. She kicks off her boots as Tom follows her to sit on another sofa facing the fireplace. Jess leans back and makes herself comfortable, sliding down the sofa as she waits. Tom looks down. Jess looks round, gets up quickly and goes to meet a tall, dark woman in her mid-twenties. They hug warmly, Jess's head on her shoulder.
How are you?
Okay, how are you?
All right. Better now.
Carol nods as Jess hugs her tightly. They break apart and look into each other's eyes. Jess strokes Carol's cheek.
Where's Sammy?
Down at Monica's.
This is my baby brother. Tom, this is Carol.
Hello.
Can I talk to you?
Yeah, sure.
Carol looks at Tom with her dark brown eyes, and she and Jess go into another room as Tom sits on the sofa. Light shines through the thin curtains of the room's tall window as Carol returns to stand above Tom, appraising him coolly. She wears a white t-shirt and khaki trousers, and has her hands in her pockets. She sits down slowly and deliberately beside him on the sofa, facing forward, her hands clasped together.
I could be your mother.
No, you couldn't.
Carol and Tom sit motionless for a moment until Carol takes his hand in hers and holds it, massaging gently. Tom looks at her blankly. She inches closer to Tom across the sofa, takes his spotty face in her hand, draws it to her and kisses him a number of times. Each time she looks at him to gauge his reaction. He is unresponsive, and she draws away from him a little, then takes his hand and pulls it across to her breast, where it clings as she continues to kiss him. Again, Carol draws back, irritated, then begins to take off Tom's anorak. She throws it to the floor and then removes his black t-shirt. She looks at his pale adolescent body, runs a hand over his chin, neck, shoulders and arm, feeling his flesh as Tom remains passive. She faces him, both still seated on the sofa, and she takes her t-shirt off. Tom lowers his eyes, and Carol takes both of his hands and puts them on her now naked breasts, kissing Tom gently as she does so. She reaches down for his belt buckle and undoes it. Tom looks startled, but begins to help by lifting up so as to slip his jeans down, just as Jess appears at the door.
Carol?
Carol looks up, startled to see Jess. Tom looks around and dashes to get back into his clothes. As Tom pulls his t-shirt frantically on, and Carol pulls hers over her head, a wordless communication between Jess and Carol, as Jess almost imperceptibly shakes her head. Night in their hotel room. Jess sits awake and drinks from a heavy glass tumbler. Tom sleeps in bed behind her. The lights from passing cars fall across her distressed face, shining wet with tears. In the farmhouse, Mother wakes up Tom.
Tom? Tom? Come on, come on, Tom. Come on. Come on, now. Come on, I need you to wake up, okay? Are you awake?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Okay. You have to get up. I need you to help me. We have to go to the hospital. Alice is ill.
Jess holds Alice in her parents' bedroom.
I'll roll the car up.
I'll go and ring the hospital again.
Father puts on a jersey and takes a bag out as Tom struggles into a t-shirt.
You take the baby, please, Tom. You go and get dressed.
Jess and Tom transfer the baby awkwardly. He tries to comfort her as he stands in his boxer shorts, holds her up to his face and cradles her head. Pale, anxious faces in the car as father drives through the night. Jess, in the front seat, stares out of the side window, away from her father. Jess carries two plastic cups down a bright corridor. Father and Tom sit beside a ward door.
What's happened?
Nothing, they're just keeping Alice in overnight. I want to stay with Mummy. You'll be right driving home.
Yeah.
You pick me up in the morning. You pick us all up, hopefully, eh?
Okay.
Come on, Tom. Drive carefully.
Jess and Tom walk away as father knocks at the door and takes the cups into the ward. Jess drives the car with Tom in the front seat beside her.
Does he do up your arse all the time? Is that the only way you like it?
Just shut up, all right?
Tears run down her face as Jess concentrates on the dark road in the headlights.
You're sick. You, him, your girlfriend in London.
Is that what you think? As predictable as that. You just want everything to be nice and sweet. But it isn't.
Does Nick know? What does he think?
It's none of his business. I don't care what he thinks.
The car bounces over the gravel track to the farmhouse, and the headlights pick out the figure of Lucy, who waits for them. As soon as Jess stops the car and puts out the headlights, Tom gets out and strides straight past Lucy and heads for the house. She turns to watch him.
Tom?
Jess walks up to her.
Your mum sounded awful. How's she doing?
She's scared.
I bet. Is your dad with her?
Yeah.
Good.
Call me if you need me, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Promise?
Yeah.
Take care.
And you?
Jess walks to the house as Lucy anxiously follows her progress. As Jess enters the house, Tom drops back onto the settee and ignores her as she pauses for a moment and looks at his immobile figure. She goes upstairs. Beside the car, Lucy still stares at the house until finally she turns and walks slowly away up the track into the darkness. Alice lies in a hospital cot, tubes and sensors attached to her small body, breathing quickly. Mother watches over the cot, face drawn and pale. She looks up as Tom enters the room.
Tom!
Where's Dad?
He's gone. He had to take a taxi home.
Tom betrays no emotion. Mother smiles weakly.
Have you eaten, love? Something wrong?
No.
What is it?
Nothing.
Mother gets up from the bed and goes to the cot. She removes Alice's nappy and looks in it to see a large blood stain. Immediately she presses a button on the wall at the bedhead and looks anxiously down at Alice again.
Sorry, Tom.
The ward sister pushes past Tom at the door and goes to the cot. She examines Alice and pushes the button again. The sister leaves the room.
You ever fancied anyone besides Dad?
What?
Mother attends to Alice, wiping her clean, before turning back to look, puzzled, at Tom.
Is it something I've done?
It's not you. Don't trust him. Keep him away from the baby.
A white-coated doctor and a nurse hurry in past Tom. Tom ducks out of the door.
What?
Mother looks to the door, her face ashen. A light appears over the green, darkened field. Tom cycles down the bumpy track. The front light of the bicycle bobs as he pedals past the parked car and props his bike up against the front of the house. He switches off the light and goes around to the back door, into the kitchen where he leans against the cooker. Jess is at the table, her head in her arms, rocking. Father is on the phone.
No, I don't understand, sister. I have my rights, I'm her husband. Just put her back on the phone so I can talk to her, please. I'm not shouting. Yeah, but I have the right to ask about my Alice. No, I understand. No.
Thanks, Tom.
No, I'll be here. I'll be very grateful. Well, thank you. God bless you. Bye.
Father strides up to Tom.
I've had your mother on the phone, screaming about getting the police and asking me to leave the house. What's going on, Tom?
You know what's going on.
No, I don't. She won't talk to me. What have you been saying?
What do you think?
I don't know. I'm talking to you. You tell me. What did you say to her?
I saw you.
What do you mean you saw me?
I saw you with Jesse.
I'm always with Jesse. I'm always with you. I'm your dad.
They stand face to face.
I wish you weren't.
How can you say that to me? I'm your dad.
No, you're not. I hate you.
What have I done to you for you to hate me?
You're sick.
No, you're sick. You're fucking sick. You're making me ill.
So are you fucking my sister and you've been fucking...
Father slaps Tom violently and chases him, arms flailing up the stairs.
Fucking... Don't you fucking talk to me! You fucking sick! And you fucking say that to me! You're fucking sick! You talk to me like in front of your sister! In front of your sister! You're fucking ill! You go behind my fucking back to your mother in hospital! You're gonna fucking break this family up! You will fucking break up and I'll kill you! What are you fucking talking about? You're so fucking sick! You're going into care, son. You are going into fucking care. You're fucking dead, you shit. You tell me things like that. You fucking animal. You're a fucking animal. The fucking hell are you? You fucking talk like that. You're fucking ill. You go to a fucking home. I'll put you in a fucking home. You fucking scum. What are you doing to me? What are you fucking doing to me? You're fucking killing me. Fucking kid. You fucking animal. How do you fucking talk like that? You go to your mother behind my back and talk shit. You're fucking sick in the head. Something fucking wrong with you. Fucking 2 years. 2 years I've had this fucking kid. 2 fucking years. 2 schools I've pulled him out of. Fucking trouble. Nothing but trouble. You're breaking my fucking family up. You're breaking this fucking family up. Your fucking family. You've broke this family up and I swear I'll fucking kill you. I'll fucking kill you. What are you doing to me?
Jess, shaking uncontrollably, looks up from the table.
What are you doing to me? Where are you still? Talk to your mum. You're going to fucking care. I'll fucking sort this out. You're fucking paranoid. Everyone's going fucking paranoid. I'll fucking do this.
Father takes his coat and storms out of the door. Jess still has her head buried in her arms on the table as she sobs. Jess shuffles to the foot of the stairs and makes her way up them, holding onto the banister for support. On the shadowy landing, she pauses at Tom's bedroom door.
Tom?
She waits. Then opens the door. Tom sits upright in a chair. He looks up as she comes in.
Are you all right?
He simply watches Jess as she kneels down beside the chair. She takes his chin in her hand, turns his head as she examines him for injuries.
Did he hurt you?
Yeah.
He's gone. What did you tell her?
Tom continues to stare at his clasped hands. Jess regards him intently, then covers his hands with hers.
Do you want me to stay?
Yeah.
Their eyes meet, and then he looks away. Jess rises and closes the door. She returns to the chair and takes one of his hands. He slowly gets up. She slips his anorak off his shoulders and leads him to the bed, where he lies down with his back next to the wall. Jess lies down next to him, facing the room, her eyes wide open. Tom is asleep, but Jess, still awake, sits up as she hears the footsteps.
Jess.
Go away.
Jess lies back, her face now composed and calm. In the darkness of his bedroom, Father sits on the bed. He shakes his head and bites his lip. Tom's eyes open and he gets up. He goes to the door of the bedroom and opens it. Jess stares at the ceiling of the room. Tom goes downstairs into the kitchen where he makes straight for the kitchen table, opens the drawer and takes out a long, thin filleting knife. Tom walks slowly upstairs in the half-light, enters his parents' bedroom to stand over Father, who is seated on the bed. Jess follows him into the room.
I don't fucking need this, Tom. I don't understand why you're saying these things. You know they hurt us. I know you're sorry, but I don't know whether you're just lying or you actually believe in me. Either way, it's got to stop. Can't have it, mate. Sorry I smacked you, but you hurt me. You don't know how I feel. Mummy's all upset. Is it an attention thing? Is it Alice? Is that what it is? Sometimes it happens when a baby comes along. It's, you know, it's the facts of life. I never put you in a home. You know what? I love you. I never put you in here.
You fuck me up my ass. You fuck me. Why would you do that? It hurts.
See what happens when you put things into people's heads? You put them into their head and it steamrollers on.
and other people start to believe it. You've got to get these thoughts out of your head, Tom. You've got to stop it. They're wrong. You know they're wrong. You're not sick. You're just going through your teens. It happened to me. Are you pregnant? Is that what it is? Is that what it is? You see how you can put things into people's heads? I suppose I'll be doing it with him next. You can't keep saying these things, don't you?
Tom thrusts forward and sinks the knife deep into his father's stomach. Father grabs at the knife. A tear rolls down Jess's cheek. Father collapses onto the floor and tries to clutch his knees up to his chest. Tom looks coldly down on his father. Tears flood Jess's face as she sobs, swallowing and grimacing. Tom walks away from father, writhing on the floor, and runs off up the track into the night. A grey dawn light over the bunker. Inside, Tom sits against the wall on some discarded cloth. His knees are drawn up with his forearms folded across them. He looks down at the ground and shivers. He lifts his head and looks to the doorway.
Mum?
After a moment, Jess appears silhouetted in the doorway and stands looking at him. She wears a coat over her jeans and a khaki t-shirt with a white star on the front. She walks slowly over to Tom, pauses again to watch him. He shakes uncontrollably, looks up at her, and Jess sits down close to him.
Is he dead?
Jess looks down at the floor.
I'm okay.
Again, Jess can only look down.
What are we going to do?
Jess's eyes do not move from Tom's face. Eventually, he gets up. Her face turns to follow his movements as he walks stiffly to the metal door of the bunker. As he pushes it closed, he turns to look back at the figure of Jess huddled against the wall of concrete. Tom slams the door on the world outside. The bunker sits grey and unyielding on the cliff top above the waves. The view of the coastline grows ever wider, and the dark, weather-stained rectangular shape disappears into the distance and is lost among the tangle of rocks, crags, cliffs and headlands around which the sea surges unceasingly.
Thank you.
This audio description was commissioned by Film 4 and produced by Carol McGregor for IADA Limited. The script was written by Bob Robinson and narrated by Neil Stuke at Murricane & Murricane, Glasgow. The film was directed by Tim Roth. Screenplay by Alexander Stewart, based on his novel, The War Zone. Produced by Sarah Radcliffe and Dixie Linder. Executive producer, Eric Abraham. Director of photography, Seamus McGarvey, BSc. Production designer, Michael Carlin. Editor, Trevor Waite. Music, Simon Boswell. Costume designer, Mary Jane Rayner. Makeup and hair design, Ivana Primorac. Casting directors, Gina Jay, Sharon Howard Field. First assistant director, Nick Hextall Smith. Sound recordist, Jim Greenhorn. The cast in alphabetical order: Nurse, Annabelle Apson; Lucy, Kate Ashfield; Jesse, Lara Belmont; Tom, Freddie Cunliffe; Nick, Colin J. Farrell; Carol, Aisling O'Sullivan; Mum, Tilda Swinton; Baby Alice, Megan Thorpe; Barman, Kim Wall; and Dad, Ray Winston. Filmed on location in North Devon and London. A Sarah Radcliffe and Portobello Pictures production in association with Fandango SRL and Mikado SRL for Film 4.